WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, November 2, 2016. So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. It is our very first show since, of course, Thanksgiving break. We took a break for a few days last week, folks, to stuff ourselves with turkey and macaroni and cheese and collard greens. And I'm getting myself hungry right now. But hey, on behalf of us all here at WKAR, we trust that you had a safe and well-deserved Thanksgiving break, all right? But we're back at it and live in full effect on this Monday edition of Current Sports with a ton to get to, okay, folks? I could do an 8-hour show, let alone 60 minutes, all right? We will chat about, of course, the game, Michigan, Ohio State, at Ohio Stadium, double overtime. Was it a first down or was it not? We'll talk about it, all right? Plenty of discussion on that, as well as, you know, how that win for OSU, you know, what does that do to the college football playoff landscape now? So you don't want to miss that. We will also give a full recap of what took place out in the beautiful Bahamas. That's right, Nassau, home of Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr., as the Michigan State men's basketball team partook in, of course, the battle for Atlantis tourney, coming in third place, actually. So we'll chat about that. We will also talk about the Detroit Lions, who right now, that's right, they are in sole possession of first place in the NFC North, all right? And, of course, we will invite Adam Bigger, sports writer for today's U Sports. Adam is going to talk about that Michigan and Ohio State game, seeing as though he was in the house for that matchup. So all of that and more, if you don't want to miss the show. Trust me, it's going to be loaded, jam-packed. We want to hear from you, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time, so let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we first start off our headliners by, of course, acknowledging our two local teams that not only made it to the big dance, but they heard the music. That's right, they won the whole thing. Pawamo Westphalia and Jackson Lumen Christi are state champions on the gridiron, folks. That's right, both won the high school football state championship in their respective divisions. Jackson Lumen Christi played Friday at Ford Field, defeating Maple City Glen Lake 26-14 to take the D6 title, and returning to the state championship after last year's defeat, P-Dub was able to take the Division 7 title this time around with a 28-14 victory over playoff regular Detroit Loyola. And we will have the head coach of the Pawamo Westphalia state championship Pirates, Jeremy Miller. He will be present on tomorrow's show, so you don't want to miss that, folks. After suffering their first loss of the season last Tuesday, the number 24th ranked MSU women's basketball team looked to get back to their winning ways as they headed to Cali to compete in the Radisson Thanksgiving Classic. Now, on the first night of the tourney, the Spartans defeated Delaware 81-64, which earned them a spot in the championship game the following day. Scoring was led by, yeah, none other than Tori Jankowska. She's been fantastic, who had career highs of 32 points and 8 three-pointers. On Saturday, MSU topped Cal State Northridge 63-59 to win the tourney and improve the Spartans to 6-1 on the season. Once again, scoring was led by Tori Jankowska. I don't think there's been a game yet this season in which Tori hasn't led the team in scoring. Tori had 22 in that one. That included 4 free throws in the final 10 seconds of the game to give the Spartans the dub. She was also named MVP of the tourney. All right, unannounced to many, the Spartan hockey team was in North Dakota last weekend to take on the number 5 team in the nation. The Spartans left with a 4-3 win on Friday night, scoring 4 straight goals after falling behind early. Defenseman Jarrett Roseburg found the net twice, and Connor Wood and Joe Cox both tallied once. The Spartans were led in the game by Ed Minnie, who saved 30 shots on the night to prevent the North Dakota comeback. Saturday night, the team skated to a 2-2 tie after neither team could find a winner in regulation or in the 5-on-5 overtime period. Although, in a 3-on-3 OT following that, Roseburg did find a winner for the Spartans, but the game will officially go down as a tie. Thomas Ebbing and Patrick Kordarenko both found the net on Saturday. But once again, the star was goaltender Ed Minnie, who on that night made 32 saves. Good weekend for Tom Anastas and his troops. MSU women's volleyball finished the regular season on Saturday with a 3-1 defeat against Iowa. Now, with that win, the Spartans finished 23-8 overall and 13-7 in the Big Ten, earning the Spartans the number 9 seed in the NCAA tourney. MSU has also been given the honor of hosting the first and second rounds of the tournament at Jenison Fieldhouse this upcoming weekend. Get this, the Spartans will take on the MAAC champ Fairfield in the first round, 7:30 p.m. on Friday. We will have Kathy George a part of Current Sports later on this week. You don't want to miss that, and I will be present for that first round game against Fairfield. So keep it locked to WKAR.org for coverage there. Aaron Banks, a 2017 four-star offensive lineman, has tweeted his commitment date, and that will be December 9th in his local high school in Cali. The 6'7", 315-pounder has interest from Michigan, along with USC, Oregon, UCLA, Notre Dame, and Arizona. Alabama once again tops the Associated Press College Football Poll with 100% of the first-place votes. After a controversial ending in Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State sits at number 2. Clemson and Washington sit at number 3 and number 4 after trouncing their rivals, and both jumped Michigan, who is now down to number 5. The Big Ten Championship will feature number 6 Wisconsin and number 8 Penn State. And coming off their perfect regular season, Western Michigan is up to number 13 now. How about that? Pretty cool stuff. And Jabril Peppers, you guys know him, the star do-it-all player for the U of M football team. Well, with Michigan's regular season ending this past Saturday in a double overtime loss at Ohio State, apparently there is movement regarding the future of the Michigan redshirt sophomore Peppers, who is eligible to declare for the NFL draft. Now, Peppers' mother reportedly is interviewing agents, according to a tweet from sports attorney Darren Heitner. Now, he referenced the Inside the League publication, which is a football agent website, saying that, quote, Jabril Peppers' mother requiring agents to complete a 41-question document on experience, clients, NFL contacts, etc. So they have to, if you want to be Jabril Peppers' agent, you got to earn it. Now, while he is considered a hybrid linebacker, Peppers also has played offense and has returned kicks. He does it all, folks. I love watching Jabril Peppers play. And last but certainly not least, in the wake of the events that have unfolded this morning in Columbus, Ohio, with the incident taking place in which some person decided to take a knife or a machete of some kind and just a heinous act, folks. I'm pretty sure many of you have heard about it. This is the ultimate act of sportsmanship here, folks. Some Michigan players have expressed support for their rivals. The official University of Michigan Athletics account tweeted out, quote, "Stay safe, Buckeyes." And some notable players have tweeted out in support as well, such as Wilton Spate, Jordan Lewis, Jake Long, John O'Korn, and Khalid Hill, among many others. And from all of us here at WKAR, we want to wish the campus of Ohio State and the entire Ohio State community well wishes. Our thoughts and prayers are with you all. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that's on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go and tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, and at WKAR underscore sports, or go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Let's start the show.
My AD at Florida actually used to always tell me, he said, if you can't get that far, you're not a championship team. And we used to talk about that all the time. That actually crossed my mind. If you can't get that, we're not a championship team anyway. So that is one of the classic games that this rivalry, that will forever be, because I know this rivalry as well as anybody. And that game's right in there. I'm not saying it's the greatest, because that's disrespectful to the other great players that have played in it. But that's an instant classic against two very good teams. And we knew going in it was going to be that way. That's one of the best defense we've ever gone against. That's my wife. I'll get right back to him at the press conference. All right, bye. She said, bring a gallon of milk home on the way home.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today. That spot, the graphic display is the interference penalties. The one not called on us, on Grant Perry, clearly was being hooked before the ball got there. And the previous penalty they called on Delano Hill, the ball's uncatchable and by the receiver. See, I'm bitterly disappointed in the officiating. Can't make that any more clear. It was not, my view of the first down was as it was that short.
Ah, yes, two very different moods in the respective press conferences, post-game press conferences, after the dust had settled in the Michigan and Ohio State game on Saturday afternoon. How fun was that? Oh, my goodness. Regardless of where your rooting interest may lie, for any fan of college football, heck, any fan of sports, you got to appreciate what went down at Ohio Stadium. We're taking your calls on what is being dubbed as, quote, the game. That's how ESPN pubbed that matchup. And it was probably my favorite game I've watched all year, all college football year. So, you know, you look at the different layers of this game, folks. Again, it's a matchup that went to double overtime. I want to hear from you, because there were many moments that occurred throughout that game that many people are weighing in on. You know, you heard Jim Harbaugh, who actually used the word bitter or bitterly disappointed 5 times throughout his post-game press conference in reference to his displeasure in how that game was officiated. And I think that Jim Harbaugh does have a legitimate gripe in a few degrees. I mean, if you look at that, and I can bring up the Khalid Hill situation. I mean, the ball was out of – the ball was unreachable, okay? No one was catching that football. And the refs – and I thought it was minimal contact. I really didn't think that – I really thought the refs could have just kept the flag in the waistband there. But, you know, and there were a few plays like that, a few pass interference calls that I think were a bit 50-50, really odd. And I can see where Jim is trying to go there, but at the same time, Jim, come on, dude. Come on. And first off, the game went to double overtime. Those plays certainly were momentum shifters in a way, but don't act like your team did not have multiple opportunities to win that game. I mean, heck, really all you have to look at is Mr. Wilton Spate. I really have to look no further than him. If you want to be real with it, the quarterback for U of M, who of course went out with a collarbone injury the week prior to this matchup. So for 2 weeks, we have not seen Wilton Spate on the football field. And to be honest with you, if you look at his completion percentage, I mean, this is a kid who had an over 60% completion percentage in that game. The thing is, he had not one, not two, but three turnovers. Three mindless turnovers. One of those turnovers happened on the two-yard line. And just imagine if Michigan scores there. The conversation would be totally different here on Current Sports today. All right? And the two interceptions he threw were just, I don't know what he was looking at. So you had opportunities, Jim. This wasn't on the refs. The refs did not lose you this game. But, you know, I see where Jim is coming from. You know, he's biting the bullet for his team. He's the head coach of this squad, and he doesn't want any. And in a way, I think maybe he's trying to deflect a bit of attention maybe from his squad. But I don't think he believes that, again. You know, there were a few calls that didn't go your way. But at the same time, you know that you were in this game. You know that you could have won this game, Jim Harbaugh. And the big question out of all of the calls that occurred on that just unbelievable afternoon out in Ohio, was it a first down or not? That's the question. I want you guys to tweet me. I want to read some of your comments. Some of you guys are watching me via our Facebook live stream right now. If you are and you watch that game, if you're listening to me, whether you be in your car or at home, wherever you are, tweet us, call us. I want to hear your thoughts on whether or not you thought that was a first down, okay? And I'll read your comments live here on our airwaves. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, at WKAR_sports. Leave a comment at facebook.com/currentsports or call us 517-355-WKAR. Was it a first down or was it not? Now, first off, for me, I'll give you my thoughts on it. I don't know if it was a first. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I have no idea if that was a first down. In my opinion, it was too close to call. Way too close to call. And what did surprise me, though, and I made this statement, if you guys have been listening on AM 870 for a while, you guys know the Current State airs before we take the airwaves, and you heard my conversation that I had with Current State host Mark Bayshore. What surprised me about how that whole situation went down is that the referees were so decisive, first off, and so quick to rule it a first down, and they didn't even bring in the chain gang. They didn't even measure it. That really shocked me. And you know what happens when that happens? When you automatically rule that a first down, if it's reviewed, which it was reviewed, you guys know the old adage, it has to show indisputable video evidence. And from that camera angle, which is a bird's eye view, nowhere near the ground, on an angle, it's so tough to tell if that was a first down. The only one who knows if that was a first down, you know who that is? That's the man upstairs, folks. That is the only one who knows for sure if that was a first down. All right, no one knows. All right, you can examine that and dissect it and zoom in all you want. No one really knows. It was that close. It looked to me, and again, that's from an angle, folks. That camera angle is from an angle looking down on the play. I don't understand, why isn't there a camera? With all the technology we boast about, why isn't there a camera that directly goes down the first down line? I don't get that. I just feel like there should be something there, like a sensor that goes off if the ball even touches the line, you know, the first down marker. I mean, with all the technology we haven't developed that. The only angle they had was one that was a bird's eye view. That's crazy. Nonetheless, it has to be indisputable video evidence, and it was not. Riddle me that, right? And then, bam, game over to the house, and Ohio State celebrates. That took a lot of gusto from Urban Meyer. I got to give props to the man, because on fourth down and you're down by three in double overtime and you decide to to put the football in the hands of JT Barrett and tell him just go. That I admire that. That's playing to win, folks. And that's exactly what the Ohio State Buckeyes did. Gutsy decision. I mean, Mike, and you look at just the overall way that game played out, you know. And I do think maybe in the back of his mind, you know, Urban Meyer might have been saying to himself, well, you know, Tyler Durbin, you know, he was one of three on the afternoon. Maybe that crossed his mind. He was one of three. Do we really want to put it on his foot? You know, even though he did make the field goal that actually sent the game into the first overtime. But Tyler Durbin was one of three. Maybe that crossed his decision. But at the end of the day, you know, this came down to, you know, if you can limit the amount of mistakes that you have. And Wilton Spate, your starting quarterback, coughing up the ball three times, that's not going to get it done. Simple as that. I was surprised they were still in the game after that. And Michigan had momentum off the jump, which was, I mean, crazy how that game unfolded. So, was it a first down? Was it not? I want to hear your thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to say this, too, because I've been getting a lot of flack since I said this morning on Current State, mostly from fans of Michigan State. You know, Isaac, I made this statement. I want to invite Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, to the show real quick. I know Rob from East Lansing is on line one. Stay right there, Rob. I'm going to get to it. I want to say this, though. Isaac called me crazy, dude. But in the back of my head, you know what I'm thinking, man? There is still a chance that Michigan can make the college football playoff. Call me crazy if you want to.
I'm going to call you crazy.
There is still a chance. You know why? You know why I say that? I say that because of this. And I sit back and look at it now, and you look at the Big Ten championship game, right? You got Penn State, Wisconsin, right? And you look at how the landscape is right now. I think it's pretty safe to say with Ohio State winning against Michigan, it's going to be Alabama and Ohio State at 1-2.
They're certain.
The college football playoff isn't going to change that. But you know what? This is when it gets interesting. At 3-4. Because Clemson, I think, will probably etch in stone its name as well.
Agreed.
Barring Armageddon.
Disaster, yeah.
It's got to be Armageddon, right? Clemson, it will be my number three. And then, you know,
Louisville's got a chance. No, I'm playing.
We're not going back to that conversation. But at the fourth spot, though, you know, looking at how good that Ohio State game was and looking at how Michigan pushed the number two college football team to the brink. And they were three plays away from winning that game. I mean, double overtime, thrilling game. Ratings through the roof. The atmosphere at Ohio Stadium. You know, you got two of the biggest names in college football going at it. Michigan has many notable top 25 wins this year. And the way that the college football playoff is set up now, I understand that, yes, a conference championship holds a lot of weight. Don't get me wrong. It holds a ton of weight. And nobody even saw. Nobody would have thought that we would be talking about Penn State and Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. That's even crazy to think about that. But when you look at Michigan's resume, again, two losses, one bad one to Iowa, but one that could have went either way against Ohio State. When you compare Michigan's resume to those two teams, I bet you that there's going to be a few in that room that says, you know what, why not throw U of M in this mix again? You see how they played Ohio State. And then there could be a crazy possibility of a rematch between Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh. You know, if you make Michigan four, you know, Michigan will play Alabama. Now, I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, but still, you know, they'll play Alabama. You have Ohio State taking on Clemson. They could possibly meet in the national championship. But don't rule that out. What I have learned, especially with these pre-rankings that don't even mean anything until the final one on December 4th, what I've learned is that the College Football Playoff Committee, in its thinking, is willing to try new things. Heck, I thought Michigan was going to, you know, they have a love fest with Michigan. I thought they were going to be out of the top four when they lost to Iowa.
Me too.
And they still kept them in there. I'm just saying, if it happens, I told you first. It happens, okay?
Hey, it's a great call. And then Detroit Free Press also put out an article on possible avenues for Michigan to still reach the championship or the college football playoff. But you're right. A lot of this will come down to the voter bias, depending on what the College Football Committee actually wants to do in essence. And I think that's a great point. The thing is, though, in my opinion, you lose once, okay. You lose twice, and you know what? It's time to start giving some other people a call. And that's what I think this is also.
But you
Wisconsin,
know what? I think the playoff committee
Penn
may look
State,
at that
both
loss to – I'm sorry to cut you off, Isaac. But,
no.
But I think they may look at that loss to Ohio State as – not really a loss.
Well, and that's what I was saying about Louisville versus Clemson as well, not to rehash that whatsoever, but there is such a thing as a quality loss.
Right.
And that's what Michigan to Ohio State is. Unfortunately, I feel like Wisconsin might have a Big Ten championship belt along with two quality losses. Michigan and Ohio State, both of which would, I think, trump Michigan's resume just because they'll have one more win. And then they'd also have the Big Ten championship, even though they lost to Michigan. It's a tricky situation, though.
There's a lot that could happen, right? Especially as the weekend plays out with respective conference championship games. Kamen Kessler is also in studio with us. I'm gonna get to Kamen in just a second. I want to read one comment and then go to our caller on line one. Conrad, one of our current sports PAs, Conrad weighs in and says, quote, "I think personally it was a first down, but I also thought it was very, very strange that the chain gang never came out to measure the spot." Real briefly, Isaac, real quick, before we get to our caller here, was it a first down or not?
I have no idea. Just like you.
I don't know, man.
But you go with the ruling that's on the field. The thing I want to say is that yellow line, people, it's an approximation.
It's an approximation.
It's not
exact.
It's a digitally generated image designed to give viewers a brief, very overview look of what the situation is. It doesn't have to deal.
Yeah, folks ride or die with that yellow line,
right? Yeah, exactly. It's not actually what it is. So, no, I don't know. You don't know. I think the first down line camera is a great idea. I would love to see that in future play. I think you should pan that right now. But the thing is, I don't know. You stick with the call that's on the field. Yes, they should have brought out the chain gang, but that did not lose Michigan that game. Let's stop talking like that.
Dude, if you can get a pylon cam, you can definitely get a first down.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Come
They've
on,
got
man.
Pylon cam before a first down cam? That
makes
is
no sense.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Line one, Rob from East Lansing. You are on Current Sports. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. I was wanting to talk about the Harbaugh post game, and I just got to tell you, there are lots of coaches that have lost lots of close games that are bitterly disappointed. But they do not talk about it in the post game. They have some class, and they accept the calls, and they accept the loss. I mean, the bottom line is whether or not the refs made good calls or bad calls. That's the hand you're dealt with.
I agree. I agree, Rob.
You know, they get a first down. You got to stop them the next play. He danced into the end zone. And the game's over. So, you know, now you got two losses, and I don't know if you should be in the championship.
Rob, thanks a lot for the call. And I have to agree with Rob on that, Isaac. I mean, again, it wasn't those calls that lost them the game. It was the turnovers. And the defense played fantastic throughout much of that game. Ohio State's coveted run game was ideally contained throughout most of that afternoon. Michigan did a heck of a job with that. That was one of the big storylines coming in. I wanted to know if Michigan was going to be able to slow down that crazy dual attack that they got going with the quarterback and running back, that system that Urban Meyer runs. And Michigan did a great job of containing that throughout much of the afternoon. So they were in this game, and for Jim Harbaugh to go in there and get on the podium and say, you know what, this game, some of it has to be on the shoulders of the referees. You don't do that. You think that, but you don't do that. You know, put it on your players, accept the responsibility of how it played out, and keep it moving, because you had opportunities to win. I hate, it's the easiest cop-out in sports to blame the referees as to why you lost. Kamen Kessler, current sports PA. Kamen, I want to ask you, brother, was it a first down or not?
My gut reaction is yes, but like a lot of people, my only gripe with it is, how do you not bring out the chains on that? How do you not take another look? Obviously, replay is not going to give you anything. you have your forward progress spot. I don't think you're going to get anything looking at the replay. You can really visibly see the ball too well on the other side of his body. But gut reactions, yeah. But my whole thing with it is, from a neutral perspective, Michigan outplayed Ohio State. But Michigan lost that game for themselves with the turnovers inside the inside the five with Spitz fumble, mm-hmm. and then two interceptions returned inside your own 20. Obviously, one's the pick six there. Right. Ohio State's offense was non-existent. They really got outplayed in that game. That game should have never gone to overtime, should never come down to that call. So not a big fan of Harbaugh complaining to the refs there, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with the playoff committee.
Very interesting, to say the least. And you know what? I'm kind of rooting for Michigan to play.
I know you are. That's why you're riding that theory. Yeah.
That's why I'm riding the theory, because you know what? That matchup. I mean, I got goosebumps at times. Why? And, you know, I want to ask about your Thanksgiving and how your guys' Thanksgiving went as well.
That's important.
Because I was on, you know what was cool? I was on, it was weird at the same time. I went to Miami to see my mother. She moved to Miami at the beginning of the summer. So we went out that afternoon to the beach, Isaac. And I don't know if you saw my Snapchat. We were on the beach and we barbecued. We're out there having a good time. It was myself, my stepdad, my step unc. You know, I had my two sisters were out there, my sister's boyfriend. We were all out there chillaxing. And we were watching a game on the beach with our smartphones. And that's how it was just a cool atmosphere, yep. Man. I'm watching, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was getting goosebumps watching this game. I mean, you know, you got these two big names in Jim Harbaugh and in Urban Meyer and their personalities. And you saw, you know, Jim Harbaugh spike his head. I mean, just a lot. That had a national championship feel on Saturday afternoon. And you call me crazy, but I would love to see that again this season.
Well,
you know?
It did remind me of Game of the Century Part 3, Game 1 being LSU versus Alabama in the regular season,
right.
Game 2 being LSU versus Alabama in the postseason. Maybe this will be a similar situation where you've got two matchups between the two. It's not impossible for Michigan to make the playoff. I don't think they will. Real briefly, what I'll say about Harbaugh, just to come to his defense, sometimes you have to take a bullet for the team. Saying that, he came to the defense and the shielding of his own players. I agree it was not classy and it was not accurate, but I do think maybe his players respect him a little bit for it.
Okay, I see where you're going there. Okay, maybe him coming out and saying, you know what? You know, this is on the referees, or, you know, these calls, you know, didn't go our way. It's on the refs. Maybe that's a way of deflecting some of the criticism, or most of the criticism, when it comes to his players. And it's funny because we had Kurt from Grand Ledge, a dear caller to the show. I was chatting with him before we took the airwaves about that exact same thing. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to chat with the man who was there. That's right, at Ohio Stadium. He's going to talk about just the atmosphere of how crazy that game was. His name is Adam Biggers, a dear friend of the show, sports writer for Today's U Sports. We're also going to give you guys coverage from the Tom Izzo men's basketball press conference from the Breslin Center this afternoon. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
So when you see me flying by the planet's moon, you don't need to explain if everything's changed. Just know I'm just like you.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, and apologies to those out there that are listening and watching via facebook.com/currentsports. You know, Isaac, technology, man. My iPad just died.
Oh.
iPad. It's a Monday, so, you know, hey, stuff happens, right?
Well, have I told you about my iPhone syndrome, the problems
no.
it has? It turns off every time it's in cold weather. I think
I told you
this at a game. It was
right.
So frustrating. So over the weekend, I'm in Toronto. I'm trying to take all sorts of pictures. And, you know, it's 45 degrees sunny. And my phone dies multiple times at 76 to 90%. And
oh,
then,
no.
Yeah,
you need an upgrade,
like,
dude. You need an upgrade.
Boy, I feel like I'm carrying a landline around with me because I've always got the charger attached to it. I feel like I'm
right.
just carrying around a landline waiting to plug it in somewhere. It's really frustrating.
I hate when tech. Yeah, and that was at the Ohio State Michigan State game. I remember you were like, "Yeah, I can't do anything." It was just a black screen.
Yep.
And yeah, I may need to. Well, my iPad is just it was on 11%, so I tried to milk it as much as possible. So, all right. Well, apologies to our listeners and viewers out there that were listening and watching via Facebook.com/CurrentSports. I'll be sure to charge my iPad tonight. All right. Moving along here, we've been chatting about, of course, the game, as it was dubbed, Michigan and Ohio State. It was a fun one, folks, a double overtime thriller that resulted in the Ohio State Buckeyes winning and thus, in my opinion, cementing itself into the college football playoff. Right now, let's get to our guest for today's show. He was actually just in East Lansing for the Time Izzo press conference at the Breslin Center. Should be still on the road, driving back right now. His name is Adam Biggers, dear friend of the show, sports writer of today's U Sports. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Al. Thanks for having me on, man.
Always good having you on, my man. And first off, I want to confirm, make sure I got this right. Were you in the house for that Ohio State game, Ohio State and Michigan game?
No, I did. I did not travel for that one.
Gotcha. I want to double check that. Okay.
Yep.
Now, starting off, I want to, because we've been dissecting this thing left and right, and I have to ask you, you know, did you think it was a first down when you saw JT Barrett take off on that fourth down? First off, were you surprised about the play call, and did you think he moved the chains?
I wasn't surprised by the play call at all. If you saw it, you know, during that drive, it looked like they were trying to run tempo, catch Michigan off guard. I've seen so many different angles of this thing. JT Barrett was short. I mean, there's no other way for me to say it. I believe that he was short. I know people were talking. I mean, with forward progress, I didn't see any forward progress. And when you bump into the guy who was, you know, at least a half yard before the first down marker, you know, the invisible first down marker that JT couldn't see. Even JT said himself after the game, I had read a little bit, he wasn't 100% sure if they got it. I mean, you can't blame Ohio State. You can't the call win it's in its way and, you know, in its favor, and you know, it ultimately helped decide the game. But I mean, one bad call, I don't think you know, really decides the game. I think Michigan gave that game away to Ohio State and allowed the Buckeyes the opportunity to control the pace when it mattered the most.
Yeah, and I thought it was so close, Adam, that you really just couldn't. It was a crapshoot. It could have went either way, you know.
And you can't overturn it. There wasn't enough there to overturn it. But I guess I expect a little bit more attention to detail, you know, measurement, challenge, that kind of stuff when it comes to a play of that magnitude. But if you can't blame that one play, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you can't blame that one play for Michigan's loss. There was a lot more to it than that.
Were you shocked at how candid Jim Harbaugh was in his post-game presser in calling out the officiating in that game? Were you surprised that Harbaugh popped off like he did, Adam?
not at all.
you kind of saw that coming, huh?
Oh yeah, I mean, I still get a laugh about it, though. Not one bit. And Al, I'll be honest with you, that he was keeping it probably PC and simmering down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably a calm version. I imagine that a lot of the guys saw, you know, all the way up Harbaugh in the locker room and that sort of thing. But no, not at all. Not surprised at all.
Wilton Spates, starting quarterback for the Wolverines. Again, we hadn't seen Wilton on the football field in 2 weeks, due to, of course, the collarbone injury. He returned for this matchup, and that's something that, you know, you alluded to when we had you on the show last week. Wilton, when you look at his overall game, if you take away the three turnovers, Adam, and look at his completion percentage, I mean, this is a guy who completed over 60% of his passes, but three devastating mistakes that led to, you know, as you just put it, I mean, handed the game to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Was that just a case of Wilton, you know, not having a feel for the game after missing a week of in-game play?
You know, it's difficult to say. I will say this. I thought You know, if John O'Korn was going to be the starter, I figured that they'd have to incorporate Jabril a lot more into the offense in order to have an opportunity. Without Wilton Spate, Michigan doesn't compete in that game the way that it did. Without Wilton Spate, I don't believe they go up 17-7 and have the opportunity, you know, to put the game away. But as you mentioned, you know, the fumble. I mean, if, you know, that was on Wilton Spate, goal line right there, and they had a chance to punch it in and go up, you know, 24-7 after the point after. That pick six, you know, I don't know if I can – I don't like the play action on your own goal line call. Mm-hmm. So right there, that I kind of feel like that wasn't totally on Spate. I felt like that he was trying to make a play. Obviously didn't want to get safety and ended up throwing it to Malik Hooker, who took it back. Great interception, great pick six by the Buckeyes defensive back. But, you know, it's a game, Al, where they don't play the way that they do with Wilton Spate and of course, or without Wilton Spate. And then, of course, like you mentioned, the three turnovers. And, you know, if you're Wilton Spate, you're kicking yourself in the rear for that. It's uncharacteristic, you know, two interceptions. He'd only thrown four coming into that game. It's difficult to dissect, and I don't want to, you know, necessarily. I don't think that you could blame it on the quarterback. I think the defense didn't make stops when it could have had Curtis Samuel for a 15-yard loss in overtime. If you remember that play, and he got back,
right,
super slippery across the field. But there were so many things, Al, that Michigan allowed Ohio State to get back in that game and take control of it. And that's the bottom line.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Wolverines and Spartans beat writer for today's U Sports, Adam Biggers. All right, Adam, so the big question now, and I kind of kicked around this scenario. You know, that game was so good, and Michigan pushed. Again, they were a few plays away from topping the Buckeyes, and if they limit those mistakes, they do come out with that win. Is there any way that you think the Wolverines still have a shot at possibly making the college football playoff? Yay or nay?
And here's where I'm torn, Al. Maybe you guys and, you know, Isaac and the guys, maybe you guys can agree or help me out on this. We put a huge premium on the conference championship game, right? And if you win the Big Ten Conference Championship, why don't you have an automatic invite to the 14 playoff or an automatic spot? At the same time, though, this year, I don't believe that we're seeing the two best teams in the conference. I think we saw the conference championship game on Saturday, really.
Preach.
And it's difficult because you know on paper, talent-wise, the Michigan is a top four team. But at the same time, Michigan loses to Ohio State, doesn't win its conference championship. Part of me would have a problem with Michigan getting in, but there's a scenario to where they need a lot of help. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, then are you punishing Penn State and with the loser of Penn State and Wisconsin for making it to the championship game? It's not their fault that Michigan couldn't handle business. You know, it's not their fault that Michigan couldn't close it out against Ohio State. So that's kind of where I'm torn, because I think we all can agree that Michigan is a playoff-worthy team, but at the same time, Michigan didn't do what it needed to do to ensure a playoff spot.
Right. So true. And that's the thing. And that's a good point. I think torn is a good word because, you know, you look at what's going to take place in that Big Ten championship game between, you know, the two winners in the West and the East. And you say, okay, Penn State and Wisconsin, they earned that right to play in that game. You know, shouldn't a winner, you know, earn a spot in the college football playoff? If you're saying that, okay, this is the conference champion, the best of the best of the conference. But I think what makes the college football so beautiful is that the eye test comes in a lot here. You know what I'm saying, Isaac? I mean, when you look at those two teams that we saw on Saturday, I find it really hard pressed to say that Penn State is better than Ohio State or Michigan, or Wisconsin is better. I mean, Wisconsin lost to Michigan in a head-to-head matchup. So, you know, it's hard for me to say that the Nittany Lions or the Badgers are better than anything that we saw on Saturday afternoon.
Well, right? Wisconsin lost to Michigan in the head-to-head. Penn State was obliterated. They were raised to the ground, right, 49-10. So I think this all comes down in many ways to who wins the conference championship. Of course, though, with Penn State, you can say, boy, 4 games into this season when they were 2-2, 2 games into this season when they were 1-1. James Franklin probably was the coach that should have been fired more than Charlie Strong, etc.
On the hot seat, yeah.
Now, you look at them and you can make the debate, it's a different team, just like they did a few years ago when Ohio State won the college football playoff as a 4 seed because JT Barrett, that's a different team, then Cardale Jones, that's a different team. It's all over the place. I've never seen it so scrambled and jumbled in the Big Ten as this year. Somebody's got some decisions to make.
Adam, I want to kick the can real briefly here and talk about, okay, if Michigan isn't in that college football playoff, what bowl game do you think they will sit in?
I think it's Rose or Orange right now as they stand. Like, I mean, there could be scenarios, you know, like you know, with Colorado, see what happens to the Pac-12 championship game. But for right now, I think it's Rose or Orange Bowl. And real quick point, what Isaac just made, and I guess if you're Michigan, let's say that Penn State does win this, and you're looking at a team going to the playoff that you beat, like what Isaac said, you know, 49-10, that's a team you beat by 39 points, and they're representing, you know, the Big Ten. And but, I mean, that's how it folds. You know, that's kind of how it unfolds. But right now, I think, you know, we could see Michigan – as one of the latest projections I saw was CBS and with Michigan and Louisville in the Orange. And then, you know, maybe we see Michigan in a rematch with Colorado in the Rose Bowl, or maybe even Michigan-USC. Michigan-USC would be a huge draw in the Rose Bowl. And, you know, a lot of people are really high on USC. And I don't, you know, the best three lost teams in the nation argument, I don't know. You know, I don't know how much stock I put into that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we're looking at two, you know, immensely popular programs, two huge fan bases, you know, across the country. So that'd be a huge game. But yeah, I think right now as it stands, Rose or Orange Bowl, it looks like for the Wolverines.
Before we get you out of here, Adam, I want to bring this up. Reports are brewing that Jabril Peppers, his mother, is actually holding interviews with potential agents. This is coming from Inside the League, a football agent website that says, quote, Jabril Peppers' mother requiring agents to complete a 41, I can't help but chuckle when I read, a 41 questionnaire doc on experience, clients, NFL contacts, etc. Do you think Peppers is gone after this season?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm surprised his mom didn't ask for a hair sample and blood type as well. You know, I mean, then why
right.
not? You want 41 questions, you have to be thorough there, Mrs. Peppers. So,
right.
no, Jabril, I'd be absolutely shocked if he came back. I mean, people are already projecting him as top 10 player or, you know, top 10 draft pick. He's an incredible player, one of the most well-rounded football players that I think a lot of people would say that they've ever seen this. But it's certainly, you know, within the past, if we just look, you know, recent window past 5 to 10 years. I mean, I don't know if I've seen another guy as exciting or as electrifying. You know, Reggie Bush, you know, kind of comes to mind. And I know that was one of Jabril's idols. I believe that Jabril's most likely gone. And, you know, maybe this is a conversation for another time, but Michigan loses a lot after this year.
You think? I mean, I'm looking at things, and get this, they're losing. They're going to lose 18 starting seniors after this season.
Yeah.
But
And not just any day, you know, everyday guys. We're talking, you know, some of the best players to come through there recently. Chris Wormley, one of the best defensive ends to come through there in some time. I mean, we're looking at, you know, almost the entire offensive line. But that D-line, I think, is the major key. And everybody had talked about the defensive line this year. And good thing that it does have the depth, and good thing that Michigan does recruit well, you know, on the D-line. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to lose Chris Wormley, Taco Charlton, Ryan Glasgow, Matt Godin, a fifth-year senior. He actually ended up being pretty influential and having a real good year this year. So we're looking at a lot of departures for the Wolverines after this season.
But I tell you what, if anybody can handle it, it is Jim Harbaugh. And we all know about the coveted recruiting classes that Michigan brings in on a regular basis, especially it's been ramped up now with Harbaugh taking over the program. So I think they'll be back on track. But again, yeah, that's a lot when you're losing 18 starting seniors. All right, Adam Biggers, beat writer for Michigan State as well as Michigan, for today's U Sports. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. You were fantastic, my friend.
Hey, pleasure as always, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll bring you coverage from this afternoon's Michigan State men's basketball press conference with the one, the only, the head coach, the Hall of Famer, Tom Izzo. Don't go anywhere. That and more in the final 10 minutes here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, it's Monday. I hope you guys are having a fantastic Monday, and we are just getting the car warmed up here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a fantastic week in store for you all. If you're just now tuning in, we're going to have, actually, Jeremy Miller, head coach of the Pomo Westphalia. State champion! Yes, they can call themselves state champs now. How cool is that? State champs. On the gridiron, the Pirates. Jeremy Miller, the head coach, is going to join me on tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss that. And we will also have Kathy George, head coach of the Michigan State women's volleyball team, on the show later this week to preview that first-round matchup in the NCAA women's volleyball tourney. So it's going to be a fun week. Not only just those two, we're going to have some cool guests as the week moves on here. Before we leave you guys, I want to play two bites from this afternoon's Michigan State men's basketball presser with head coach Tom Izzo. As you guys know, and as we stated in our headliners, the Michigan State men's basketball team played in the Battle for Atlantis tourney out in Nassau, Bahamas over the Thanksgiving break. Now, they won three, lost one, and they placed third place out of that tourney. And it had a bad loss to Baylor. And we're able to rebound, though, and you know, they've lagged so many miles throughout this entire month. And tomorrow, get this, they have to play the Duke Blue Devils. Crazy, right? They played, I mean, we've seen this team play Kentucky. We've seen them play Arizona. Now they play Duke. I mean, without question, the toughest November in program history. Here was Tom Izzo's opening statement this afternoon.
I think we made some progress. Still got a lot of deficiencies that you can see. Some of them are caused by the fact that I think we've played five teams now that'll be NCAA teams. There's no question in my mind. But what I like most about the Wichita State game is I did not feel like the second half of Baylor we competed. And I don't say that very often. And so then I came up with the, you know, big line of, are we fatigued? Are we tired? Is it, you know, some of it's my fault, all this stuff that seemed to create some controversy, both in a positive and negative way. It was just the truth. I mean, I don't know. And so we really challenged our guys that night and the next morning. And probably one of the greatest things happened in the whole trip was they responded. I think when you get a team to respond, that's part of building. It's part of the same way you build your defense better, your offense better. Getting them to respond to some controversy is maybe as critical as anything. In our last five games, you know, we've had a lot of one-day and no-day preps, two-day preps at the longest. Very difficult for a young team. And I saw some progress compared to, you know, maybe the short turnarounds and how, again, I'm basing a lot on the Wichita State game because how we responded after that loss was exciting. And I've seen a lot of that in the same way, you know, we lost the lead. But if you look at, you know, back in the tournament we were in, the way it happened to Louisville, you know, Gonzaga the other night, it just seems to be a lot of it going on. And maybe it's because of youth. Maybe it's because of there's more better games early in the year now than there used to be. But our guys are excited to go to Duke. Yesterday we had the longest best practice I've had in 3 years. As far as, you know, we put a lot of time in. It was a day we could do that. You could see in the practice that they were focused in and excited, and I think we got some things done. But as far as Duke goes, been a lot of attention given to who's out. But I think there's five or six McDonald's guys still there. And unfortunately, they're the ones with a lot of experience. We remember back that Grayson Allen almost beating us single-handedly in the Final Four when he came out of nowhere and just became this missile that got to the lane, got to the basket, but as well as anybody. And him and Kennard, you have two guards that are very dangerous. They can score in a lot of ways from outside on drives and drives and kicks. I think one of the most impressive guys that I've seen improve is Ben Jefferson.
So, again, Michigan State will take on Duke tomorrow. And you know what? Tom Izzo had an interesting statement that, you know, his team, you know, right in the middle of that battle for Atlantis tourney, you know, after that bad loss to Baylor, he came out and made a statement. He actually apologized to his team for the tough schedule. And Tom followed up on those statements this afternoon as well. Here he is.
It's been a bizarre year. And what I learned about the scheduling that everybody or some people took wrong, I would not change who I scheduled. The amount of time in between and the amount of distance I would change, because I think it created three issues: no practice time, no film time, and very little rest time. And for a young team, that's not healthy, you know. And but as far as who we're playing, I mean, this will now be the sixth NCAA opponent, in my humble opinion, that will have played in the first eight games. I'm not sure that's ever happened here. I'm not sure it's ever happened almost anywhere. So our guys are getting more excited and realizing what they haven't been doing and what they need to do to be successful consistently. And I think that's going to still benefit us. You know, has there been some lumps? Yeah, there has been. Has there been some tough times? Yes, there has been. But it's been exciting to see a team bounce back, too, you know. We really did bounce back down in the Bahamas. We played more minutes of better basketball. And that's one of the things we got to do. Then we really bounced back after the tough loss where I thought we got really punished in that second half of the Baylor game. And I didn't think we responded as well as I'd like us to. So the challenge went out. And I thought the response to the challenge was phenomenal. And so now we got to get back, and we're always challenging, it seems like. But playing a team like Duke, who I have great respect for, playing down there, it'd be a great opportunity for our kids. It's one of those arenas, one of those historic places that should be on everybody's bucket list, you know. And as Tom said to me, you know, how can it get any better? You know, you give me a chance to play in the Bahamas, my home. Players got to go to his house. It was one of the more awesome things I've gotten a chance to do. And you give me a chance to play at Duke. You know, and if you look at it that way, and not in awe of it, but in excitement with it, then I think it's nothing but a positive.
So Michigan State will head to Coach K Court tomorrow to take on the number 5 basketball team in the nation in the Duke Blue Devils. A 9:30 p.m. tip time on ESPN. We'll have more chatter on that game tomorrow. I got 4 teams I want to call out briefly as my weekend winners. The Detroit Lions, fantastic win over the Minnesota Vikings, the second dub over many this year. How about them Cowboys? So you got the Lions leading the NFC North, Cowboys leading the NFC East. I'm a happy camper. And also our 2 state championship teams, Pauama Westphalia and Jackson Lumen Christi. Jeremy Miller on the show tomorrow. Don't miss it. Have a great afternoon and be easy, people.